We go together to God's Word. We're going to go to probably the best known psalm in the book of Psalms, and maybe even the best known, one of the best known chapters in the Bible, right up there with John 3, verse 16. And then we're going to go to the New Testament and read a parallel passage where Jesus calls himself the shepherd of Psalm 23. Psalm 23, page 862. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now let's turn for our New Testament reading to John chapter 10. Page 1666, John 10, starting at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So far, the reading of God's Word this morning. Brothers and sisters, I could think of no better place to go this morning than to simply point us up to the shepherd with a capital S. This beautiful psalm, Psalm 23, is one many kids learn in Sunday school, one that many of us have learned in our earliest years. But I've also seen the powerful impact of this psalm in the lives of those at the end of life or nearing the end of life. Just a few days ago, I was with Edith Hoekstra, whom we have not seen for some time, Providence Central Nursing Home, failing in mind and body. And yet, as I began to quote these words in the King James Version of her youth, there came her voice, strong and clear. The Lord is my shepherd. Smile on her face. Though much else is forgotten, though much else is confusing, This certainty is lodged deep in her heart. And it is my hope and prayer today that every person in this room can say that with certainty. These words, "The Lord is my shepherd." And truly experience what that reality means. Jesus Christ shocked the religious establishment of his time. He shocked the people of his time when he put himself at the center of Psalm 23. When he clearly declared himself with his words, I am the good shepherd. He made himself the Lord or the Yahweh of Psalm 23. And that's why they wanted to kill him, among other reasons. And so when you say from your heart, "The Lord is my shepherd," you're also saying, "Jesus is my shepherd." Why is Jesus your shepherd? Because he made you, and he owns you. If Jesus is truly your shepherd and you are saying that from your heart, it means those two things. It means he made you. Well, he made everybody. But also that he owns you. You belong to him. You are his personal, prized, and loved property. He owns you because he bought you. He paid for you with his own precious blood. "I lay down my life for the sheep." If this Jesus was willing to pay the ultimate price to buy you back from your slavery to sin and Satan and death, you can be absolutely sure that he cares for you intimately. As he rose again from the dead, he laid down his life, yes, but he took it up again to live for you, not just to die for you, but to live for you. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep." And in the Bible, that word "know" is a rich and relational word. It talks about an intimate, personal, loving kind of knowing. He knows you by name. He knows everything about you. Even when you're confused about you, he is not. He gets you more than you even get yourself. We know that this is an intimate knowing in this passage in John 10, that is, because he compares it with his relationship with his Father. I know my sheep and my sheep know me just as my Father knows me and I know my Father. Beautiful. Shepherd. You think about it. Year by year, the astronomers and scientists discover more and more about this vast, incredible universe that we are living in, this rapidly expanding universe with billions and billions of galaxies, swirling galaxies, each galaxy with billions and billions of stars. And our star that we call the sun is one tiny star on the edge of an ordinary galaxy. And even compared to this tiny star, our Earth is just a dot. And we? What are we? We are specks on a dot that is way, way bigger than us. How in the world can the God who shaped, who fashioned, who created from nothing, and who upholds and sustains this vast universe, why does he pay attention to me? To you? He would know you by name. He would claim you as his own before the creation of the world and shed his blood for you. That just blows us all away. This is Jesus. You put your trust in him, you can know he is your shepherd. But again, remember, to say that with certainty means we need to anchor our trust in him and surrender to his care and control. To be his sheep, to call him my shepherd, means he is my master and my owner. It means that I belong to him. And sometimes we have mixed feelings about belonging, don't we? also in our sin and brokenness. We love the benefits of belonging, right? Benefits of being part of a circle, part of a community, part of people who care for us and to whom we matter. But there's something about the binding of belonging we're not always sure about. Being bound to somebody, particularly someone in authority over us. Not quite as free to just come and go as we would like. And there are times when there's a part of us that just says, I want to be autonomous. It just wants to say, I don't belong to anybody. I am my own. The problem is when we live that way, when we live and we say, when we live out the creed, I am my own, we come to the point where we realize I'm on my own. I am alone. But what is your only comfort? What is your only security in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. And because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. I can trust and follow him. The Lord is my shepherd, begins Psalm 23. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. That sounds nice, doesn't it? When I grew up reading this psalm, I always instantly pictured the farm I grew up on a beautiful summer day. So you get the big old farmhouse and you get the barns, and then around that you get the fields with the corn and the soybeans, the hay fields, barley, but you also have some pastures. Here's a pasture, lush green, beautiful pasture, full of grass, the nice fence around it, and then another one with a nice fence around it, and maybe a third one with a nice fence around it. And the farmer simply rotates. The cattle first go in this one, chomp, 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 they eat it down, okay, time for the next one, chomp, 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 and so on, and you rotate. There's always fresh water available fairly readily, fairly easily. In fact, I remember the day that my dad got a zero grazing wagon and a chopper, and he would go out in the alfalfa and the grass, and he'd chop a wagon full of lush green grass, park it in the field, and it was like Costco for the cows, one-stop shop. Just show up and eat. You don't even have to eat the grass in the field. Wow, that's the way to live. Let me just tell you, that's not the conditions David is talking about. It's not what shepherding was at all. Palestine is largely a semi-arid place, semi-dry. If you were a shepherd, you worked your tail off to make sure that your sheep had enough grass to eat. You worked your tail off to find sources of water for them. In fact, you were forced to live a semi-nomadic life because fields or pastures were often rugged places, hostile places, where you'd get clumps or patches of grass and then rock and sand and dirt and heat, and then there's another patch or a clump, and then you're going up over a rugged cliff and you go to the other side, you find another patch. And as a shepherd, you're always constantly on the lookout. You're always constantly out, okay, is there any sort of water supply here? And you're looking for days sometimes. You're on the move. Okay, we've spent 3 days here, the grass is gone, on to the next one, on to the next one. You may remember in Genesis, Jacob sends Joseph off to find his brothers. The Bible tells us what? He travels for days to find his brothers who are shepherds. And then he gets to the town of Shechem, and they say, no, they went on another day again. This is how shepherds live their lives. So what'd they do at night? They were just always with their sheep during the day. At night, they simply rolled up in their cloaks, went to sleep. They had their staff right here, their club right here, or their rod right here. And the moment they heard the sound of unrest or discontent or fear, they were up in a flash to deal with whatever it was that was threatening their flock. They did life with their sheep. They knew each one intimately. They knew each one by name. They could spot instantly if there was something wrong with the sheep, and they would immediately tend to the problem. That was the life of a shepherd. It was a hard life. They truly gave their lives for their sheep. They would even put themselves in harm's way. That club was more like a tree limb that they would cut down to size, whittle down to fit in their hand. This rod, so-called, was something that a shepherd learned to wield with deadly accuracy. And here comes the cougar. And here are the sheep, and he's about to savage those sheep. And the shepherd comes running. He knows he's in danger, but he takes that rod, and he has learned. And he whips that thing, and he catches that thing right between the eyes. That's how good he is. And then there's the shepherd's staff. Your rod, huh? Comforts me, the Bible says here. But your staff also comforts me. This was the more gentle tool. It's got a crook on the end. Oh, by the way, one more thing about the rod. A sheep is wandering up. He's off ahead. The shepherd can't get there quickly enough on his legs. He's about to wander off the trail to eat some poisonous berries because they look so good to him. Or he's about to wander off over a cliff, and the shepherd sees that, and he takes that rod, and with his deadly accuracy, he whips it so that it strikes the ground right in front of the sheep, startles the sheep, gets his attention, and moves him back onto the path. Isn't that wonderful? Now think of Jesus that way. How does Jesus do that in our lives? Protects us from those who would harm us and gets our attention, maybe even clips us a little bit with the rod to bring us back, to spare us from disaster. Have you ever experienced wake-up calls from the Lord? Maybe they were wake-up calls that not only startled you but hurt you, that brought you some pain, but you're praising God for it now because it spared you from wandering off into disaster. Praise the Lord for the discipline of his rod, but also for the care he exercises with his staff, that crooked staff. What happened is he would see a sheep starting to wander, and he gently put that crook around the neck and pull it back in. Keep it in line. Gently correct and guide the path by his word and by his spirit. Word and spirit, rod and staff. Praise the Lord for these realities in our lives. He restores my soul. This line suggests to us that there are times when we're broken and bleeding, beaten down, and we need to be refreshed. Life circumstances beat us down. Sickness, sufferings, griefs, maybe even people in our lives. We need to be restored. We need to be refreshed. And the gentle shepherd, the good shepherd, comes and he restores he restores our souls with his presence, comforting us with himself in his word. He meets us. And he refreshes and restores us through others he brings into our lives. Sometimes we get beat up, don't we? Right? Just reading a great little book. Maybe some of you have seen it. Philip Keller, not to be confused with Timothy Keller. 1970, a shepherd looks at Psalm 23, and he reflects line by line on this psalm in light of his experience as a shepherd. Absolutely wonderful. And he would talk about those sheep that would bully the other sheep and how he would handle them. Made me think of my goat, Sheila. And if your name is Sheila, I apologize. That is completely coincidence here. Love Sheila, but my, oh my, Sheila was bossy. And he kind of describes it, and goats are very similar. And I could remember her when there would be a goat somewhere where she wanted to be, and she would crane her neck like this,
look to the side, her eyes would go all buggy, and you could see her stiffen up, and she'd have this walk like this, and whoom, right? I don't know why I would do this, but I would sometimes go into the pen, and I would look at her like this, and I'd put my head down, and here she'd come, wham, onto my head, and I'd sit here for 3 minutes and go, oh. And then when I felt better, I would do it again, okay? Maybe explains a few things, but anyway, these are the dynamics. But this guy says, even in terms of shepherding, his experience was there were those who lived in fear of the Sheilas, and then there were the Sheilas, and there was that dynamic. But when the shepherd would come into the fields, they'd all come to him, and it would all be forgotten. Because they were focused on him. His presence made all the difference. And their focus on him and their experience of his presence made all the difference. And if maybe you live in fear in your life, or you live in a place of insecurity because of your experience of the Sheilas in your life, so to speak, knowing the presence of Jesus, your shepherd, can set you free from that to live in peace and boldness. Perhaps you look back on your life and there are times where you were the Sheila. There was a deep insecurity that drove you to have to be that person because for it to be okay. The presence of the shepherd says, no, you don't have to be that. I'll take care of you. As you look at people and circumstances that are fearful in your life, there is your shepherd to restore your soul. He's real, he's there, he's with you, he is bigger than any force in your life that scares you. With his rod and his staff, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Remember, this shepherd has to lead his sheep on journeys for days and days and days. And the only way we are going to grow in our relationship with the shepherd, the only way we are going to grow for his purposes and to be a blessing to others, is if we're willing to take the risk of following him down paths that we may find uncomfortable and unnerving and frightening. But they are his paths. And sometimes we insist on our own paths. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, turned to old paths, old patterns that are destructive. When we do this, when we look back on how we have wandered away in stubbornness, and self-will, we remember that the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, that he perished in our place for our wandering. We can trust him to lead and guide us in his word and by his spirit. And now, as we go on the journey, in the shepherd's case, as the spring would come and the snows would melt from the mountains, he would lead the sheep up the hillsides to find fresh summer meadows. But the journeys up the mountainsides were filled with danger because often they led through dark valleys. Those dark valleys on the way to the alpine meadows were the best for finding water and grazing, but they were also the places where predators live. And sometimes the sun doesn't even reach the bottom, and so there are semi-dark places, the valley of the shadow of death. And the shepherd walks with his crook and with his rod, and he comes to the entrance of this valley and the sheep hold back. You really want us to go in there? Yes, I do. Follow me. And in they go. And in those valleys, they sometimes cannot see even a foot in front of their face and they're terrified. And they go through hard, hard things. It's the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe they even go through death itself. Sometimes they feel like the Lord isn't even there. And they cry out, oh, Lord, where are you? I thought you were leading me. And now you've dumped me alone in this valley and I'm stuck here and I'm going to be destroyed. I'm going to die in this valley. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't go on. The shepherd comes back and says, no, I'm with you. I'm right here. The Holy Spirit, cry out for him, and he will assure you that God and Jesus is right there with you. you're not going to perish in that valley. It's a valley. It's part of the path that leads through to life. And when you emerge on the other side, you will have grown, you will have grown and have been shaped for his purposes, because that's part of what he has in mind. And there stands your shepherd and says, "See, I told you I would." And by the way, he says, "Remember, you did not perish in that valley, because I did in your place. I did. I perished for your sins in the valley of the shadow of death, so that you don't need to." And some of you have brought that comfort or have known that comfort at the bedside of a dying loved one. Maybe you have spoken those words to that person, or they have spoken those words. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." What a beautiful thing. It's a sad, it's a difficult thing, but to see someone whose hope is anchored in Jesus Christ, just grabbing his hand and saying, "Lord, the process of dying scares me. I know you're right here, and I know you are going to take me through this to the other side. Because I have enjoyed your care, your perfect care in life under your rule as your sheep, and now I know I will enjoy life under your roof forever. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." As we experience King Jesus as the one who just loves, delights to pour his resources, pour his blessings into our lives day by day and ultimately forever. "My God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Do you believe that? You're going through something right now, and you're just saying, "I can't. I look inside. I don't have it to be who I need to be in this space or to take another step. I can't do this anymore." And God says, "I love it when you're in that spot, because that's when you look up and you discover me right there with you, pouring my grace into your life in ways you never knew possible." That's our shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy will chase me, will pursue me. We focus on our shepherd in front of us, and his goodness and mercy chases us. We are surrounded with goodness and love. His goodness and love. All the days of my life, and then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brothers and sisters, can you say with certainty, "The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd"? Then you can trust and you can follow him. You can surrender your life to him. And if you come back tonight, you will hear another shepherd message that follows the theme of Jesus saying, "There are other sheep, not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. I must bring them in also." Because what you enjoy under the care of the shepherd, so does the world. Amen. Let's stand together to sing the words of Psalm 23. "Put to music, my shepherd will supply my need." And that'll be on the screen.